to Grace Merseyside.
And an absolute classic from Graham Charles.
Four goals for John Aldridge.
0151 4720 967.
The Legends with Aldo and Sharpie.
On Radio City and Radio City Talk.
Good evening. Welcome along to the Radio City Legends. I'm Steve Hothersall. We haven't got a John Aldridge in tonight, but we have got a Dominic Matteo. So welcome to the party, Dom. And of course,
evening,
Sharpie
Steve.
As well.
Sharpie.
Great to see you, Sharpie. So, do the signs still suggest Liverpool can end their league drought? And Everton are back in business after a win on the road, which Sharpie predicted. Loads to talk about. Give us a shout. 0151 4720 967. Let's kick it off with the Reds, of course. Last night in the snow.
Yeah.
Wasn't that bad snow, was it? People seem to be moaning about the weather conditions. You two have played in worse, haven't you?
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
But yeah, definitely. Nowadays are soft, aren't they?
Did it affect Liverpool's game?
Not really. It was the same for both teams, isn't it, Steve? So I think maybe the passing at times was a little bit slower, especially in the first half. But I think overall Liverpool were a little bit lacklustre, especially after such a great start to the game. You expect him to then go on and win the game. But credit to Leicester. I think they enjoy playing against the top six teams. Mm. They always seem to do well. They've got a lot of pace. Strong defensively as well. And I think they deserved to get a result last night. I think a little bit of nerves came into Liverpool. And obviously the tinkering of the team. Jordan Henderson playing it right back probably for the first time in his career. I think for me was maybe a mistake. Not here to sit here and give Jurgen Klopp criticism because he's done such a great job. But Fabinho has played there for his country and has played there before. I think he's a little bit more athletic than Jordan. So I think he would, for me, I'd have played him right back and played Jordan in midfield.
The mistake was letting Nathaniel Klein leave the football club. That was the possibly, problem. We mentioned this on the show the other week, didn't we?
But listen, the manager makes the decisions. I thought last night, immaterial whether Jordan Henderson was playing there or not, and that Nathaniel Klein should have been. That wasn't the reason why Liverpool didn't win the game. I thought.
Were they nervous? I mean, we're talking about.
They look very similar to the Man City game against Newcastle, where they just got behind the ball, Leicester, and made it really difficult for Liverpool, allowed Liverpool to have the ball, especially at the back, and then pressed them. And then Liverpool's passing wasn't crisp and sharp enough, and then they won possession, and then they looked a threat. So I thought they did well. The pitch. A little bit surprised. I thought with undersoil heating and everything else, you wouldn't get that. I don't think that had anything to do with it. I thought Leicester played well. I think I honestly did expect Leicester to cause them a few problems, and I think they did.
I think that it's the first time, well, I've seen it the last couple of games, even against Palace. When we're attacking, we've looked a little bit vulnerable. We're not as organised as we have been in previous games. Mm. That middle of the park area, we haven't quite... Usually we get the numbers right. We just haven't quite had that. I think even for last night, Van Dijk, a little bit off his game. I mean, criticising Van Dijk, he's had an unbelievable season. But a couple of times on set pieces as well, Maguire's just making a little run off him and getting free headers. You don't usually get that against a player of Van Dijk's quality. I mean, you're allowing one bad night. Everyone has them, but... I had more than most, but it was just, yeah. Do you know what I mean, though, Sharp? It seems like at this point of the season, the key areas in the team, we just need to start getting back to basics and doing them right. Otherwise, we will get punished. And as we've seen, we got away with it a little bit against Palace, and we maybe got away with it a little bit last night against Leicester. I know people say we should have had a penalty, the pitch wasn't great, but they're not excuses. You still have to do the basics week in, week out correctly.
You look at other teams who'll come to Anfield now and look at that.
Yeah.
I just think that Leicester had pace in their side, that when they got the ball and won the ball, they hit in the break.
Well, that's a big point, because Liverpool didn't like playing Palace and Wilfred Zaha, and I don't think they like playing the pace of Vardy.
If you're inviting
Gray.
Gray, what a player. Yeah.
So what I'm saying is, if you're inviting them on, all it needs is one misplaced pass and then they're off. And I thought they closed down really well. I was impressed with them. And that's probably the best they've played
on the tour. I don't know how Everton play, but Liverpool play the fullback sometimes, one's crossing for the other one. I think sometimes in certain games, certainly I've never crossed to a fullback when I've played fullback. Usually you'd have one to go and one to stay. Yeah. But in the modern game, you sometimes get both fullbacks in the box. And I think there's going to have to be a lot of game management for Liverpool in this team, in the running.
There was a bit of pitch management at half-time. I don't know whether you saw this. I think a couple of the papers picked up on it.
Is that the same as cheating?
Well, I don't know. You give me your interpretation of this, because when I came out and saw it and I sat down in my seat, what had happened was the groundsman had cleared some lines almost so it looked like it was mown in front of the penalty area in front of the cop, so where Liverpool was shooting to that end. but they hadn't done the same with the sort of the six-foot block at the other end of the field. In other words, I think they tried to make the ground a little bit more suitable for the passing and the interplay of Mane, Firmino and Salah.
Well, that was the manager.
Is that how you saw
that.
It?
I think the manager said that.
The manager gave those instructions.
I don't think there's enough time.
Well, I don't know. I'm asking you guys.
I would say that comes from the boss, doesn't it? Yeah, I would say so. Does it work?
Apparently the groundsman didn't have enough time to do both ends, apparently.
Is that right?
Yes.
just Salah's little area.
Yeah. Why didn't he do the other end first?
I don't know why, honestly.
It's very unusual.
It's happened before, and it'll happen again. You know, it's just one of those things. And if the manager wants that and thinks that's going to give them a boost or whatever kind of thing, let them do it.
Right, in terms of the title and the long wait Liverpool have suffered for it, how does it affect things going from 4 points ahead to 5 points ahead at this stage?
It could have been seven.
Yeah, I think
it isn't. But they've got what? Sorry, Dom. What you've got to look at it as is somebody said last night. They gained another point in Man City.
Yeah,
that is basically what it's down to. They've gained another point.
Yeah, I think both teams will drop points between now and the end of the season. I do. I think that's what's going
to suffer defeats?
I do. I don't think they'll go unbeaten, both City or Liverpool between now and the end of the season. I'm not sure what games they'll be, but I think that'll definitely happen. It's just such a tough league, and I think nerves can play a part. You know, there's some, like you say, like Sharpie just said, the teams will see what's happened with Palace and Leicester. You know, Bournemouth are coming a week on Saturday. Mm-hmm. To Anfield, they've got a bit of pace up front. I mean, they've got some good players. Just beating, they'll come and think, "Well, we're pretty much safe now in the Premier League, aren't we?" So we're going to come here and we'll have a go and we'll attack Liverpool. So we have to be ready. And I think game management—I know that word they use a lot—will have to come into it a lot this season. Might have to grind a few results out to get this over the line.
Guardiola said a good thing, and he was asked about the defeat at Newcastle, and he's went. He says it's still only January or February now. He says it's only January. He says. May is when it's given out. He says a lot of things, and he's quite a lot of teams are fighting for their lives, are fighting for to get up the league. So
the dynamics can change
so
massively.
You cannot say, honestly, oh, I tell you what, we're playing Burnley. Look at Burnley going to Manchester United. Who would have said that? You know, at Old Trafford getting a point there. It changes. There's some daft results between now and the end of the season, so you can't guarantee who's going to slip up or whatever. But at this moment in time, you think Liverpool, fantastic position.
Still in pole position. And that's the most important thing.
5 points ahead. You know, listen, it's there for them to lose.
A little bit of a lack of ferocity of the crowd, I thought, last night as well. I thought there might be a little bit more up for that game. I think anyone who went might have said, No, not quite at the levels you did. So maybe the crowd a bit sensitive as well about the situation. Right, we'll talk about that more with some of the callers. 0151 472 0967. Everton get an all-important win under their belt. Bit scrappy, wasn't great to watch, but the win is extremely important to maybe turn that corner, Sharpie.
It's important. I'm just looking at the league table now, and they're eighth. You know, and people are wanting the manager sacked, and you know, you're sitting in eighth position. I think it's very, very tight. You know, we play Wolves at the weekend, who are just above us, which is a big game as well. But no, listen, I've said before, Steve, it's early days. It's not ideal. The performances aren't ideal. I don't think the performance was great the other night, but they scored early on and, you know, weathered the storm and they were down to 10 men. So, yeah, positives to take from that. But in the bigger picture, have they got to improve? Of course they have. Players have got to stand up and be counted. You know, the Wolves game at the weekend will be difficult, but it's a good game to play in. So there's big games coming up for Everton, so it's something to look forward to. But the players have got to take something from the game and go on a little bit of a winning run.
I was reading a few things that the people have been writing about Everton, about the Huddersfield performance. Talked about Gomez playing deep, giving people license because he can get on the ball and give it to them, and people can get forward. You know, is he a player that can do that for Everton, Sharpie? Gomez in that deeper area.
Gomez is a good player, Dom. I just think at this moment in time, he looks as if he's been flogged. He missed pre-season. Yeah. Barcelona was injured. He came over and he was injured. Had to work himself back to match fitness. It's taken a while. He's had a heavy schedule over Christmas, and he looks leggy at the moment. So the last couple of games he's been off it a little bit. Yeah. But there's a good player in there, and he certainly can do that. But the interesting thing for me. Kante didn't play. Ganagay didn't play the other night, supposedly because of a groin problem. But obviously, with the speculation with the PSG thing,
His head's elsewhere, isn't it? And it's probably right not to play him on that moment in time.
We don't know. You'd probably think that's the ideal, but we don't know what the injury situation, if he was injured. But he's got to put that to bed. It'll be interesting to see how he reacts from that, personally. If he's wanted to go, if we're led to believe he's wanted to go, and the club have said no, which they're entitled to do, don't get me wrong, but it'll be interesting to see what his reaction is to that and what the manager's reaction is to that, because James McCarthy was on the bench for the other night, I believe. So does he come into the frame if Ganagay's head's not right? So it's an interest. We've still got a lot to play for in the second part of the season. Obviously, we want to get as high as we possibly can, but it'd be interesting to see what the makeup of the squad is. We've had a couple of players go out today. This will be an interesting one.
Just on the transfer front, it's transfer deadline day, of course, today. So that Idrissa Gueye move seems like it's not happening. And another move that was widely speculated on was Batshuayi to Everton, which isn't going to happen because it seems like he's heading to West Ham on loan. Would you have found it acceptable if Everton had signed Batshuayi? I know they're not the same position.
Because I heard today, I was listening to a news channel on his wages.
What are they?
160 grand a week.
Oh, it's like the Legends show.
Fee for 100 years.
but listen, you can't pay that. You can't pay that. Absolutely no chance.
It's going right now, isn't it?
Oh, 160. He's not even proven, is
exactly.
he?
Exactly. So you're saying, I don't think that's happening.
Too much, yeah.
I'd be surprised if West Ham do it as well.
For that, you want a top player, don't you?
Can Idrissa Gueye find his head again, Dom?
I've always been impressed by him. I like that kind of player who sits in there and kind of ticks the team over. But just reading what I said, I mean, if someone like Gomez can get himself fit, Sharpie, he's a bit more technically better than him. So, you know, I think it's good to have someone who can actually play, give Davis a bit of license to get forward. Sigurdsson, these boys can know if he's going to sit in, he'll keep the ball. I know Gueye does that as well, but is he as good on the ball? I think sometimes the guy who plays there for me has to be decent on the ball. Yeah. You know, everyone says Kante is just a destroyer. He keeps the ball very well as well, and that's what you need in that position.
Right, we'll talk more about that. And, of course, deals that have happened on transfer deadline day very shortly. It's the Radio City Legends. If you'd like to get involved, 0151 472 0967. We're starting on the red side of the city. Let's have a chat with David. Evening to you, Dave.
All right. Evening, gents.
Hi, Dave.
Just a couple of points, obviously, about last night. Obviously, it's disappointing that we couldn't take advantage of, obviously, the Newcastle result, but it's not as bad as everyone's making out. It's like you thought we'd lost the way people were reacting last night.
I agree.
The fact of the matter is, we're a point better off. If someone had said to you before that night, you'd be 5 points ahead of Man City, you'd have took it because you thought City would definitely win at Newcastle. And then, obviously, you probably thought that we would beat Leicester. You probably thought it's going to be about 4 points anyway.
Yeah.
But I ended up with five, and I think people have overreacted slightly. It's like I said, maybe we should have won with some of the decisions. Obviously, there was a couple of decisions there. Nine times out of ten, you'd have probably got them, but we didn't. But we can't obviously look back on that. We've got to look forward, like West Ham coming up and stuff. So I'm not too concerned. I still think it's something we can do if we put our mind to it. There's just a couple of points about last night. I think the first point I want to make is the crowd. If that's what it's going to be like every week we play at home, we're not going to do it. Because you could tell in the crowd, and there was no reason to be anxious.
Yeah,
we were in a position of strongness in the respect of that whatever we got in that game, if we lost, which we didn't, thank God, we'd be on the same point. We'd have won great. If we did, we're an extra point clear. I just feel the anxiousness was getting to the players, and you could tell. And if that's what's going to happen every week, I don't think we're going to win the league, because that'll transport to the players, and I think we'll end up struggling at home, which obviously we don't want. And secondly, what I'd say about obviously the squad, I'm worried about what's on the bench if we need to change it, because we brought Sturridge and Lallana on, and for me, they're not good enough. Both of them have had injuries. You can tell they've had injuries. When they come on, they make a little impact on the game. And obviously you've got, obviously defensively, we're missing Gomez badly, you can tell. We've got Bambi on ice at the back there, massive. He, honest to God, last night he just looked all over the show, and the sooner Gomez gets back from me, the better it will be.
Yeah, I think you're right, Dave. From my point of view, I think Gomez has been a huge miss. He's very, very calm. Him and Van Dijk are a great partnership and could be for many years. I think you're right. I think the crowd were quiet last night. It seemed a little bit nervy. It has been better than that this season, I think, the crowd. But for some reason last night, I think
they went there maybe with the expectancy that maybe we're going to go there and get an easy 3 points, and especially with the early goal. I think.
Does it transmit to you as a player? Do you know if the crowd is slightly on edge with things?
Yeah.
But I think the team that he picked, though, apart from Henderson playing out of position, that was really attacking lineup. That, you know, Wijnaldum, Keita and Shaqiri in midfield, then you've got, you know, the three up front. It was a very attacking side that he selected. I think maybe for me personally, he might have played Fabinho. Whether he played him right back and Henderson in midfield, that would have might just give us a bit more stability, you know, in the middle of the field, a bit more solid. I just feel at times, Dave, in the last couple of games, if you've seen the games, I just think when we've been attacking, we've been a little bit vulnerable, we've been a little bit too open, and we've not had that this season. We've looked like teams can really get at us in the last few games. I don't know if that's teams have worked us out a bit more and done the homework more, but in the last couple of games, Dave, I just felt we've been too open. Maybe that's what we're thinking, is that overconfidence? But I still think the middle of the park, you need somebody to be in that holding, sitting role who's controlling the game, and I don't think we've had that in the last couple of matches.
I'm not sure Fabinho was fully fit last night, to be honest, because I think he's a player, if he's fit, he's got to start in that position.
Yeah,
because,
I agree.
Because I think he is our best midfielder.
Yeah.
And I think, I'm looking at like our midfield yesterday, obviously, Keita, he's struggling.
Yes, yeah.
And obviously Shaqiri. I think Shaqiri now is an impact player for me. I think he's a good player to come off the bench.
Yeah.
But I think, because I just look at our bench and I think, if it's not working for us, who are we going to bring on to change it?
Yeah, it's interesting. Like Adam Lallana a couple of years ago, he was like one of the best players in the country, isn't he? He's had these really bad like year and a half of injuries, and he really has struggled to get game time and get any kind of form. I mean, Sharpie were talking before we went on, talking about the under-23s. I think we need a reserve team back that lads can get some football, because they don't play in the 23s. They play in games behind closed doors. Mm. You can't really get it. I know people think you expect you to be match fit. You need proper football before you can go out there and perform. And I just think that Lallana's got no game time in him, and it does make a difference. I know fans expect you to be sharp and fit, but you need that from your games. He's had no under-23 football, so he's basically had how long out? Injured, and then he's coming straight back into that level. He needs some kind of match fitness. I don't care what anyone says.
I'm afraid if you bring in Lallana and Sturridge on, that's not the answer to your final third of your season.
No, that's why Dave's right.
But what they've seen as well, they will get nervy.
Yeah.
And let me tell you now, don't be surprised. As I said before, Leicester went there, had a game plan, and it worked well for them.
Yeah.
They got behind the ball, and they all worked extremely hard. Now, whether you get that from teams, I don't know, but every other team will come to Anfield will be fighting for their lives. So they'll take that and they'll come out and say, right, okay, if we keep this tight
shape.
For 45 minutes, whatever kind of thing, the crowd are going to get nervy. It's just, that's what happens. That is what happens. And if you're going for those trophies and you're going for titles, that's what something you've got to overcome. But let me tell you, there'll be more nervous times again, you know, because there'll be games in Liverpool, we'll have the same thing, the same opposition, where they'll just come and shut up shop and say, right, okay, break us down and maybe we'll hit you on the break. So there will be nervy times, you know, and it's going to be a difficult time for Liverpool as well. People are saying, yeah, we're going to win the league and everything else. This is when it really matters. And this is when you get the best out of your squad and say, well, can they just go that next step and go over the line? Because Guardiola would have watched that last night and thought, right,
we're back in this.
And I could honestly see them going on a win and run and not losing.
After their defeat at Newcastle.
I honestly can. Now, if they're seeing that with Liverpool and seeing a weakness there kind of thing, he will be stressing to his players, listen, by the way, did you see it last night at Anfield, the way they're nervy and all that, whether they're up to it? And it'll be an interesting one for Liverpool. It'll be interesting to see how they recover that, because I don't think West Ham's going to be easy.
Dave, some great points. Thank you very much indeed, pal.
Thanks, Dave.
Really good stuff. Radio City Legends. We've got plenty more calls on. Of course, Liverpool have had plenty of injustices from referee decisions recently. So we're going to get your mate Mark Halsey on to just put the record straight.
A decent referee.
Dom, I hope you're into him. Was Mark always all right with you?
Don't know.
Yeah,
I think so.
Don't know.
No, I think he was.
That means you didn't give them a penalty at Anfield. That's why he doesn't like
right, that'll be next. Then we'll take more of your calls on the Radio City Legends.
Radio City Talk Travel Update. With One Call Taxi app, you do the download, they'll do the driving.
The M6 is closed northbound between 25 at Bryn and 26 at Oral Queues, back past junction 21 of nearly 45 minutes. Southbound, two of the three lanes are closed from 26 to 25. It's affecting the M58 eastbound as well. And at Stanley Road at Millersbridge Industrial Estate, it's partially blocked at Celia Street.
Being a gnome isn't easy. All those knocks and scrapes. Once, I was minding my own business, then wham! Football snapped me arm clean off. Alfonso's in bits. Walter disappeared. Of course, they never catch anyone. But the new Hi-View outdoor security camera has motion detection, two-way audio and night vision. We're saved!
Protect your gnomes and your home from your phone. Search Hive to discover more. Hive, let's get living.
This is Radio City Talk.
Radio City Talk.
Join us for our LFC events in 2019. From an evening of darts with Bobby George, Peter Manley, John Aldridge and Steve McMahon, and the chance to play golf alongside LFC legends, to concert hospitality for Take That, Pink and Bon Jovi, we've got something for everyone in 2019. Visit liverpoolfc.com/LFC events or call 264-2222.
The Vodafone Big Winter Sale is now on, and our lowest priced home broadband is back, so you can enjoy unlimited streaming, sharing and surfing with superfast fibre. It's only £20 a month for pay monthly mobile customers. The Vodafone Big Winter Sale. Go online or in-store today. The future is exciting. Ready? Vodafone. Superfast 1 18-month agreement subject to credit check acceptance and availability in your area. Full terms at vodafone.co.uk/broadband. Ends 4th of Feb.
The humble butcher, oft the underrated craftsman, purveyor of quality cuts. It's true, but let's just put it simply. McDonald's only use hand-selected cuts of flank and forequarter from British and Irish farms to go into those McDonald's burgers we all know and love. Oh, and a pinch of salt and pepper, which is good to know. Served after 10:30 a.m.
If you've had an accident that wasn't your fault, at work, in public, or on the road, click hampsonhughes.com.
Not all New Year's resolutions have to be difficult. Saving is easy when you switch to Sky Broadband during our January sale. Get our fastest broadband at our lowest price with free unlimited calls. All for just £27 a month for 18 months, including line rental. Setup fees are from £9.95. Save with Sky Broadband. It's one resolution that's easy to keep. Hurry, offer ends 31st of January. Search Sky Sale. New fibre customers in select areas only. Text speeds at sky.com. Saving against fibre max and talk anytime. £51.99 a month after 18 months. Terms apply.
If Aldi Super 6 can fuel Olympic champions Alistair and Johnny Brownlee, it could give us a fresh start too. At 69p each, baby corn, chestnut mushrooms, mange tout and sweet pointed peppers. At just 49p each, garlic and chardonnay carrots. OK, we may never be triathletes, but we can try. Aldi, proud supporters of Veg Power.
Hear this. It's the sound of a recycling bin full of recyclables rattling and clanking around. It rattles because recycling loves to be left loose. No bin liners, plastic bags or refuse sacks. Just lift the lid and drop it in. Learn more at recycleright.org.uk. Hashtag Go Recycle Right.
Red and blue banter and debate.
Call now 0151 4720 967.
The Legends.
Radio City and Radio City Talk.
At Radio City Legends, Dominic Matteo and Graham Sharp. We've just had a lesson in pronunciations off Dom during the break. He thinks people don't respect his name enough.
That's not true.
So we've gone through a variety of pronunciations.
They called him a lot worse than that, let me tell you.
It's just Big Dom, isn't
Thanks,
it?
Thanks, Sharpie. Yeah.
The conversation started with, is it Sharpie
or Sharpie?
Or Salah?
Is it Sharpie?
Sharpie. Let's ask a man who'd know. He'd probably shouted at him. Mark Halsey, referee. Hello, Mark.
Oh, good evening, fellas. How are you?
All right, Mark.
Pal, how are you doing?
Buddy, very good, thank you.
Yeah, you're coming on here now to talk up all these referees. Surely not.
I will give you my honest opinion. Like I do, Sharpie.
As always, pal, as always.
I'm quite happy, lad. I've had a good day at the golf course today, so I'm happy.
Where have you played?
I've been playing at Mr. Bayer in San Miguel out in the Costa Blanca.
Tell you what, you'd be a lifer, right?
Oh, he's in the sunshine.
Yeah, I told him he paid them too much when he was a referee.
What a life. Right, let's talk about the many injustices that Liverpool have suffered recently.
Well, let's get it right, Steve. Sending off and the penalty.
Right, so last night, Dom, you make the case for the sending off.
Well, it was a sending off. He's through on goal, isn't he? He ain't going to get back and catch him. He's central. I know he's a long way to go, just over the halfway line. But for me, He ain't going to catch. He's not going to catch him, is he? He's one of the quickest players in the league. He's 3-1 goal. He's the last man. He's got a goal. I think the referee's got it wrong.
Mark.
Well, listen. Let's get one thing right, guys. It doesn't matter whether he's the last man or not. Did he deny a goal or an obvious goal-scoring opportunity?
Yeah, because he's been clean through.
I've got to say, in my eyes, I think there's doubt there.
What?
I think the sun has gone to Mark's head.
Have you and Sharpie been speaking? It was clean through.
No. I mean, the distance between the offence and the goal, the general direction of play, and the likelihood of gaining or regaining control of that ball, and obviously location of number of defenders. Now, you know, obviously, there has to be doubt in that situation. Has to be doubt. So, to be honest with you, I felt that Martin Axon got that one right. However, penalty. I thought he was in a good position, and I thought Liverpool should have had a penalty, no doubt whatsoever.
Mm-hmm. Okay, fair enough. I'll take one out of two, but I think we just enough. But yeah, definite penalty. I mean, even you said Sharpie.
No, yes, she did.
Yes, she did. You just whispered to
Mark,
me.
Mark, let me tell you, I get this every single week. When they don't get a decision, it's, the referee's this, the referee's that. I've always said the standard of refereeing has been excellent, but when I come in this, you know.
Hang on. What show have you been on?
Sharpie, what are you on? Because I've got to say, I think the standard is dropped.
It is. You're right, mate. I've said that all along, Mark. I think, and I'm not just saying that because you're on the show. I think the Premier League in general and everything else that goes with it has improved year in, year out. I think the standard of refereeing has gone backwards.
I think you're absolutely spot on. I think that's just not in the... I mean, listen, it's just not in the Premier League. I think it's in League One and League Two as well. And I think they're just as important as the Premier League and the Championship.
Yeah. But why is that, Mark? Why is that?
I think, listen, we've got one or two referees. You know, I suppose a handful of referees, I'd say three or four, that are very good. And I think Michael Oliver stands out amongst,
from
any of them. And I just think it's the coaching, you know. You've got people like myself that's not involved in coaching referees. Mm-hmm. How can that be? How can that be that we're not involved in coaching the next generation of referees coming through? You know, look at John Moss on Saturday, the second caution of the Accrington player. Listen, a man of his experience should have managed that better.
Yeah.
Nugent didn't want a free kick. He wanted to play on. And for me, he has to manage that. That is not a second yellow card. And referees have got to show common sense. Yeah, they've got to. And we're seeing far too many cheap cautions. Hmm.
Mark, what did you make of the Zaha one? Did you see that one?
Yeah, listen, I thought Zaha was. I thought Andre dealt with him correctly. You cannot be doing that. It's just Mickey taking the mick out of the referee Andre Mariner. And what I've been told from my colleagues that are in the refereeing now, that he's nasty to them week in, week out.
Right.
He's not very pleasant to the match officials.
Right, okay. I just thought with that...
I think you can see that. And it's, listen, he didn't get the free kick. He should have got the free kick.
Yeah.
But that, you know, I'm not. There's no way he should be acting like he did. You know,
no.
To say he's got an example to set to the young players that worship him, you know, in that area, that part of London. And I'm sorry.
Mark, I agree with that. But don't you think in that situation, and I know what you're saying is right, and you're speaking to your mates as well, kind of thing, but don't you think in that situation it would have been a case, like, I know when you were refereeing, it would have been a case, hey, listen, come here, you soft ticket, come over here. You know, don't do that to me. Don't make me look a fool or else you'll be off, kind of thing. Even a little word. Automatic, get off. And it's it's building that... That them against us situation.
So yeah. To the referee to engage with the player. You've got to engage with the players. You've got to talk to them all the time.
Yeah.
You know, you've got to get inside their brains. You know what players, how our players react. You know what makes them tick. And you know how to nick things in the bud. And I think if Andre got him to one side and said, hey, get yourself in here.
Yeah.
Calm yourself down. And that wouldn't have happened. If it did happen, you'd just say, hey, right, you come in here, get the captain in here. If he does that, I mean, I'll get him in here. And I'll say, if you do that again, I said, you're going one place, down the tunnel.
Yeah.
And I think, you're right, every foul is not a caution.
No.
Every challenge is not, don't mean to say it's a caution, but this day and age, every time there's a challenge going, the media don't help. They say, oh, yeah, he should have been cautioned.
Yeah,
he should have been cautioned.
True, I agree, yeah.
Well, no. No,
you know, Mark, what I think is really interesting, picked up on what you just said then about the reputation and the officials maybe all having that conversation between them. So all of a sudden there is a picture built up. A referee will go into a match with an idea of what sort of person Zahar
is. He's not helping himself. He's not helping his own case, is he?
No.
He's moaning all the time. He's going down too easy. Sorry, Mark.
He's letting his team down as well, you know, taking the action he did last night. And if you're going to talk to referees like that, and be sarcastic with referees and treat them with the contempt they deserve, or they don't deserve, I should say, then referees are going to be like that, you know? So, as I say, you've got to engage, you've got to smile. And at the same time, referees have got to understand players' frustration.
Yeah. Mark, do you think the big managers put a lot of pressure on the referees in the big games, like too much? I feel like sometimes the referees, they seem like they're under so much pressure and so much scrutiny in these big games that they bottle it a little bit. And
to become a top referee, you've got to be mentally tough.
Yeah, of course.
You've got to shut that out.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
You shut that out and you referee what's in front of you.
Yeah.
You do what's right for the game, not what's right for you. It's about the players and the spectators.
For sure.
And we seem to be going away from that.
Yeah. I agree. Yeah.
Right, just before you go, Mo Salah, obviously he's had a fair degree of, the microscope's been on him, hasn't he, for a lot of penalty decisions. Yeah. Does that make it harder, do you think, Mark, for a referee when he's looking at it now?
It does. I mean, listen, I love watching Mo Salah. I think he's a wonderful, wonderful player, and it's great to see him, but it's so annoying when you see him going down easy. I mean, like sometimes he does. Sometimes he gets caught and he goes down. If he goes down naturally, then there's not a problem. It's just the way he falls down. Now, and what happens with a referee's mind, he gives a penalty. Well, everyone says, oh, it's not a penalty, it's a soft penalty. And he's been caught out by a player. Then next time, when he is fouled properly, he's not going to get what he deserves. Hmm. Because referees don't want to be caught out with a player that simulates and deceives them.
Yeah. It's fascinating stuff.
Yeah, I know, it's brilliant. But listen, I'm still waiting for an invite over there, but it doesn't matter.
Hey, listen, Jarvie, come over anytime. You're not far from Lemanga. I know you go there and play a bit.
Yeah. So, but would they take any money off you? Golf and what are you playing off now?
Oh, no, you won't take any money off.
Nothing's changed in all those years, pal, let me tell you.
Mark, enjoy your holes. Thank you very much indeed.
Thanks, Mark.
Cheers, pal.
Cheers, buddy.
Cheers, pal.
Mark Holsey, living the life. Living the life.
Eh? Should have been the ref.
Right, let's go from there to another call. A Radio City Legends with Graham Sharp and Dominic Matteo. We're going to talk Everton now. And with Tony, who also wants to reflect on the support that Everton got in that Huddersfield game. Evening to you, Tony.
Evening, Steve. You all right?
Hello, mate. The lads are here. What do you want to talk about?
I agree. Hi,
Tom.
All right,
Tom.
All
right.
I was at the game on Tuesday, and I just thought it was a nervous performance.
Yeah.
But also, the fans seemed nervous as well. The support didn't seem as good as the away support could have been.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that's because we were all nervous if Everton were to lose that game. I think we're getting silver. There might be pressure on Marco. Mm-hmm. I think there might be, well, some fans that are being pressured on them. But I did think some of the plays he put in played okay as well. Like, I thought Tom Davis played well.
Yeah.
And I thought Tucson.
Yep.
I thought he held the ball up well. He ran the line well, and because he put Tucson up front, again Richarlison from wide position scores goals.
Yeah. Todd, you're right. You're right. I think young Davis came in and did well. There was an opportunity for him there. I think he did really, really well. And also with the boy Tucson, you know, I think. Scored against Millwall, you know, I've said all along, you know, people have got different opinions of him. I don't think anybody's seen enough of him in terms of giving him an extended run. Now, hopefully, he starts again at the weekend and he can go on the score sheet again, because with that comes confidence. You know, and I thought he did okay the other night as well. Worked hard, put himself about, and that's what you want your number 9 to do.
I just don't understand why he took him off as well, Graham. I thought it was wrong to take him off, and I don't understand why Bernard was on the right either, for me.
Listen, I still think that he knows his team. He doesn't know. I don't think he knows his best starting 11. I think he's still working at it. And as you said, it was a tricky game in terms of Everybody expected us to win it. It was their manager's first game in charge. It could have been a banana skin, blah, blah, blah.
It was. I mean, I wish we could play Huddersfield every week, to be honest.
But listen, Wolves will be a good game. Wolves will be different.
It will be because they won't sit in.
Nope.
And they'll see what we're about on Saturday.
Yeah.
Because they'll come out and they'll play football.
Yeah.
And there'll be spaces for us to get into. And hopefully we can hit them on the break. I think it'll be a high score and draw personally.
Tony, I look at it now and I just think that, you know, we've had a wretched run of results in the last 10 games, whatever it might have been. We still find ourselves in eighth position, mate. And okay, that can change because there's clubs just below us in number of points. That could change. But what I'm saying is, for his first year in charge, I don't honestly think, really deep down, that we were going to challenge for that top six. It would have been nice.
Sorry for the fella, to be honest. Yeah. I mean, I've seen some of the wage bill, and I was thinking about Bashwai, like you said before.
Yeah.
I didn't realise he was on 160.
Oh.
We've got enough deadwood.
Yeah.
I mean, on 120. Sandro, he's on 120.
Yeah.
How's he on 120? I think Snardon's on 120, and they're not playing.
Exactly.
So we have got to get rid of them. I don't think we should be now looking for a striker. Just give Jenk a run in the side, and that's all we've got really. And then for the supporters to start getting behind the team. I mean, I don't know if people are going to agree with me or disagree, but I did think it was edgy in the stands on Tuesday. I think it's edgy in the home games as well. I don't know what it is. We're all on edge all the time.
Was that the first time he's made like quite a few changes to the team on Tuesday? Was it five changes they made on Tuesday
night?
Yeah,
he made.
It seemed like he changed things up a bit.
And for me, they were positive changes.
Yeah.
To be honest.
Yeah.
I know he's stuck Garner out because obviously his head's not in the right place or he might be on his way. I don't know, but I mean for the lads he's brought in, I thought it was positive.
Yeah.
And he is trying to move forward. The only problem I have with is the zonal marking. I just think we should stop it. That's my only issue with him. But I mean, he is trying to be positive all the time, and he is trying to push us forward. I mean, it's a lot better than last year. Okay.
Mm.
We are struggling a bit.
Yeah.
But,
listen, two seasons are never the same. But what I'm seeing is he's had a tough second part of the season up to now. He started off quite well, and it's went a little bit pear shaped. Now he's got to get himself in a decent run between now and the end of the season and get as high up as the league as he possibly can, and then say in the first year, this is what's happened. Okay, my players have come in. Hopefully I can move some out in the summer, which I think will be difficult. But you've got to give them time. And I just think the people who are saying get rid now, blah, 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 look at the table. Yeah, we're not in where we want to be, but to get into that top six this year was going to be a hard ask anyway. You know, and I think when you look at it, and I've talked about players and players in the top six sides, and would any of our players get into top six sides? You've got to be realistic and think that the top six this year is probably beyond us. It'll probably be beyond us next year. I know people won't want to hear that, but he's got a massive job to do in terms of turnover of players, and let's give him a chance.
Nice one, Tony. Thank you very much indeed for your thoughts.
Okay.
Thanks, Tony.
Right, we're going to take a short break. Just before we get there, should we round up just some of the transfers that have happened today on transfer deadline day? So Miguel Almiron from Atalanta to Newcastle appears to be the biggest transfer at £20 million. Mm-hmm. You've also got Johnny Otto, who's gone from Atletico Madrid to Wolves, £15 million.
Yeah.
And then not really much else of any note. I mean, you'd have to go down a few divisions. Jerome Sinclair, whatever happened to him? Watford to Oxford. Jordan Rossiter, Rangers to Bury, so former Liverpool player. I thought I saw a former Everton player on this list as well.
Was it Balassi?
Villa, is he gone?
Balassi's gone to Anderlecht, I think.
Anderlecht.
Martinez went to Feyenoord,
yeah,
I believe.
Right, so none of the top teams really getting involved in the transfer business.
I think it's a difficult time. I thought Tottenham may well have had a dabble, especially with Harry Kane being out injured, but Llorente scored last night, so whether they're going to just hang fire.
Suarez gone on loan, has he? To Arsenal.
Dennis.
A decent move, yeah.
A couple of names here. James Vaughan, Wigan to Portsmouth. There you go. And Chris Dagnall, Bury to Tranmere, on a free. There's a couple of names, a couple of blasts from the past. There you go, James Vaughan moving on. We'll do our quiz next. It's the battle.
Great.
For bragging rights in the city. Sharpie's less than happy. Aldo's brought it back to 15.
It's all right,
Dom's
Sharpie.
In the hot
you're
seat.
You're playing against me. You're all
no
right.
No pressure.
You're all right, pal. Someone's knocking at the door.
Somebody's ringing the bell. Did you know that winning postcodes are announced every single day with People's Postcode Lottery? Only playing postcodes are entered, so the prizes are always won. It costs just £10 a month to play in all draws. Join in with your postcode to play at postcodelottery.co.uk. PPL managed lotteries on behalf of good causes. Players must be over 16. Terms and conditions apply. Please play responsibly. Be gamble aware. Someone's
knocking at the door. Welcome, Mr. Jones. We have you and Mrs. Jones booked in for the anniversary package with the aromatic rose petal bath and the couple's massage. When will your wife be joining us?
She couldn't get out of work, so I bought Brian from football.
Yeah, all right.
Like getting your money's worth? Enjoy the delicious mayo chicken. Just 99p from the McDonald's Saver menu. From 10:30 a.m, price and participation may vary.
Life's too short for traffic, but with trains every 15 minutes between 7 a.m. and 7 p.m, you can get affordable, flexible travel with a Merseyrail monthly pass. Get going with Merseyrail. Plan your journey at merseyrail.org. Frequency varies by line before 7 a.m. and after 7 p.m.
At QuickFit, we know how important it is to have a reliable set of tyres on your car or van, particularly when you're driving in wintry weather. So come and see us and we'll check the condition of your tyres for free. We have over 600 centres across the UK. Just book online or head down to your local QuickFit today and drive away happy, whatever the weather.
Singing along to the radio? Sorry to disturb you while you're loving life. But did you know with Co-op Funeral Care, you can plan and pay for your funeral in advance? Our unique Co-op commitment means we promise to cover the cost of your chosen funeral plan, even if you die before you've paid in full. And now you'll get £125 off by quoting Radio 19. So, sort your funeral plan today. Buy online, over the phone, or in your local Co-op Funeral Care. Offer ends 14th of April. For T's and C's, see co-op.co.uk/125.
Dream bigger. Open your eyes to Open Plan. Can you lose that wall? Yes, you probably can. A fuller picture. Think big, now bigger still. Widescreen dreams. The full panorama, if you will. More space makes room for that must-have appliance, that clever bit of kit, that little touch of science. It's your dream, your kitchen, your place. So why settle for less than the perfect living space? Panoramakitchens.co.uk, where kitchen dreams come true.
Reasons to be cheerful. One, two, three.
BT Mobile have something for you. Retail therapy on us. Join online and you'll get a reward card to use in thousands of retailers. If you don't join, there's always window shopping. BT Mobile gives back more.
Reasons to be cheerful. One, two, three.
BT. Be there.
For reward card terms, see bt.com/claimmyreward.
Two bananas, four slightly frozen goji berries, half a spoon of flax seeds.
Ugh. Fresh starts, eh? At BMW, we don't want you to bother with the boring. For only £39, our technicians will top up your BMW's vital fluids, check key components, and finish off with a wash and vacuum. Give your BMW a liquid detox. Search BMW service to book online today. Participating BMW centres only. Component checks may vary. Offer ends 31st of March 2019.
At your local Thomas Cook store, we sell holidays from loads of different companies.
Just relax while we do the searching for you.
Thomas Cook have over 4,000 expert travel agents in 600 stores ready to find your perfect holiday. And right now, get £200 free holiday money and pay no deposit when you spread the cost with monthly direct debit payments. Visit your local Thomas Cook store today.
Don't just book it, Thomas Cook it!
Selected holidays, conditions and minimum spend apply. Atoll protected.
Fanatic about football, passionate about fans. Have your say on 0151 4720 967.
The Legends.
Radio City and Radio City Talk.
So any regular listener to the show will know how much pressure is now placed on Dominic Matteo's shoulders.
I'll tell you what, pick the wrong man for this job, haven't you? Quizzes. I hate quizzes.
No, you can win this today. I'm on the shocker.
I don't know how John Aldridge has managed to salvage something out of the season. But 15 all it is.
You've showed Sharpie the questions, haven't you?
No, that's how Aldo's back in the game.
Ah, well.
And you realise if you lose, when he's back on Monday, you'll get absolutely lambasted.
I'll get grief off Aldo anyway.
double grief. Right, OK. Who wants to start? Sharpie?
Go on, no,
Sharpie.
We'll let Dom go. He's a guest.
Number one, please.
All right. Number one. Who did Leicester City sign Harry Maguire from? So who did Leicester City sign?
Gosh. Easy, hey.
Leicester!
Centre half union. Centre half union. There you go.
Well, it is defence against attack in the studio tonight.
Two.
So
striker question for sure.
Number two. No. Song and artist normally goes John Oldfield's way. No. This isn't part of your era. So I think Sharpie will get this straight away. There we go. Who is this? Song and artist.
Vienna. Oh, what's the name of the
song band? And artist.
That's a cunt, what is it?
Oh, my goodness.
There you go. I'll put the clock on.
Medjure.
No, that's not the artist.
There you go. You can't have another guess. He's just had a guess.
Is that his guess?
Yeah. Can't have another one.
He's employing John Aldridge tactics.
I can't remember.
Okay. 3, 2, 1. No.
Oh, dear me.
Go on.
Ultravox.
Oh, no, I wouldn't have got that. Really? I would have got that, but I would never have remembered that.
Never You'd have never got
never.
That.
Never. No. I've heard the song, but...
I think they'd retired by the time you were
was
playing.
Was it Midgeo?
Yeah, Midgeo was in your Ultravox.
Never heard of
it. Okay, another question, Dom.
Number four.
Four it is. Everton play Wolves at the weekend. Gosh. What was the score the last time the two teams met?
You know, don't you? No.
Doesn't matter.
Can you pass, did you say? What's
Get
it?
Lost.
No, he feeds you
All
wrong
right.
information.
I'll go...
Go on.
2-1 Wolves.
Oh!
2-2.
Yeah, it was 2-2. Quite close. Sharpie.
Number three.
Which two teams, you'll be watching this, you like a late night. Which two teams play in Sunday's Super Bowl final?
This is a fix, by the way.
Why? Does it? Oh, you've been talking about the Super Bowl. Have you, with each other?
LA Rams.
You heard this. You heard the conversation.
LA Rams and?
New England Patriots.
That's unbelievable.
Yes! Are you staying up to watch it, boys?
Yeah.
Yeah? You like a bit of that?
Yeah, I do.
All
right.
All-nighter?
Obviously.
Dom? Yeah, absolutely.
What number was that? Sorry, three?
That was number three.
Right, okay.
Dom, go on.
Six.
At Liverpool play West Ham on Monday. The Reds won 4-0 on the opening day of the season. Who scored the goals in that match? This
all
is
of
a toughie.
Yep. Oh, come on.
Well, it's all of them.
What all the
Producer
goals?
Producer Christian.
Mane.
Right, okay, Mane is one.
Rush.
Mane, Firmino,
and
hey, come on,
Mane, Firmino, and Milner.
Absolutely no idea.
No, it was two for Mane. Mo Salah scored a goal, and Daniel Sturridge came on and scored a goal, didn't he?
Was that Mo Salah or Mo Salah?
Salah.
Sharpie, you can win.
What is
this?
It?
Is a rare occurrence.
What is it?
This is the mystery voice.
Oh, no. Is it his birthday?
Is it? I don't know. No, I don't think it is. Here you go. You ready?
Go
mystery
on.
Voice time. Who is this?
Champions League final, what have you. And
I think that's Peter Crouch.
He thinks it's Peter Crouch.
That's an easy one.
It's for the Everton win.
Oh, my God.
Steal me, Aldo.
Oh.
The Super Bowl final and Peter Crouch. You're having a laugh, Steve.
Do you want me to text John now?
I'll text him myself.
Is it just coincidence?
Take it out.
Look at that face. He's not a good loser, is he?
No, because you rigged this, Steve. I'm laughing.
How can I rig it? I didn't write the questions.
Yeah.
That is an Everton win.
16-15. I thought you were going to get it.
Came very, very close. And on the Peter Crouch front, he has just moved.
Yeah.
He's gone to Burnley, hasn't he? Sam Vokes has gone the other direction.
Good move for Peter, isn't it?
Yeah, for half a year.
I'm surprised I let Vokes go.
Yeah. Handful, wasn't he?
Well, there you go. That's just happened. Just been confirmed. Let's go back to the phone lines. Radio City Legends, Graham Sharp and Dominic Matteo. And next up, we're going to talk about the fans at Liverpool with Ian. Hello, Ian.
Hello, boys. You all right?
Hi, Ian.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, obviously, a lot of the points that I was going to make have already been made by the previous callers with regards to the crowd. There is that tension there. It does transfer to the players, like Sharpie said. the fans, I think Klopp actually pointed to it before the game in his comments, where he said he was happy it was a Wednesday night game. And we need to create those European atmospheres at home for league games, and we don't do it.
I think that Jurgen Klopp's always thought this a little bit, even when he first came into the club. I always think that he's always wanted that atmosphere to be better, hasn't he? You know, we get them on the Champions League nights. We've all been there. They're amazing nights, and you know, you can't replicate that, but we need to somehow replicate it between now and the end of the season to give the players a bit of a lift when there's a little bit of nerves in there, just to give them a little push. And I think the manager, like I said, every time I go to a game, I've always seen Jurgen kind of urging the fans to give the players a little lift. I know at times people say the players shouldn't need that, but you do get a lift from the fans being right behind you. I mean, you know that Sharpie as well.
Ian, don't you think it's not just a Liverpool problem? I think you could go through
the clubs,
every club.
Yeah.
And I think every manager would say, I don't know whether the punters are just sitting back now expecting to be entertained and blah, take it or leave it. I think it's a problem at every club. I think if you go and you ask Arsenal or you ask Tottenham or you ask Man United, Man City,
well,
Chelsea,
Tony was just on, said it about Everton,
well,
didn't he?
But yeah. I think it's now a common thing. And I don't know whether it's fans are expecting just to come, sit in their seats and be entertained. And it's not like it used to be when, you know, when people used to go to the game and get right behind the team and, you know, if the team are playing well. I think the whole thing's changed.
I agree with you, Sharpie. It does happen at other clubs. If you look at the atmosphere at Old Trafford under Mourinho towards the end there, and it was poisonous.
Yeah.
But the point is, we're going into a game. We've got a great opportunity to extend our lead. We haven't lost or drawn with any of the outside of the big six.
No. You know,
we've got a great home record.
Yeah.
Why are we going in there tense to begin with?
That's
what I don't understand.
Do you think he got it wrong playing Henderson right back, Ian, last night?
No, because I don't think he had anybody else to play there, Donald.
He couldn't have played Fabinho there, no.
I don't think he was fit enough.
Yeah.
I think he would have, if he was fit enough and shown
he would have played.
I think you mentioned it before about the midfield balance. The midfield balance for me is a bit off at the moment.
I know he's gotten to
4-2-3-1 to try and get Shaqiri into the side and a bit more creativity. I think he needs to go back to 4-3-3 personally. Stiffen up the midfield a little bit. Get Fabinho in there permanently because he is our best midfield player. And get Salah back out wide, not on the centre halves. I think he's better cutting in from the angle.
Yeah, I've just obviously as an ex-defender, when I see Liverpool attacking the last few games, I always look at what's left behind when you're going forward, and we are so attacking. I just feel like we need to be so organised. And I think Van Dijk last night, for once, and you've got to give him, you know, he's been outstanding. He didn't seem he had the team as organised in front of him as usual, and maybe because Henderson or Milner weren't in there, and they know that job, and they know they've got to be disciplined. It looks like we're a bit all over the place at times last night, and it's not like us. Usually our shape's very good.
Well, it was set pieces, wasn't it? It was two set pieces that caused us the problem, if you count the save that Alisson made in the second half, where Firmino nearly got the own goal. Two big balls to the back post. They've done their own way.
Yeah.
Two big balls to the back post. Van Dijk loses Maguire.
Yeah.
And then it's chaos in there. But I also think you're right with the set plays. When the first ball is made, everyone looks like they're so desperate to break away and be part of a counter-attack.
Correct.
But they leave hold behind.
Yeah.
I mean, I think the goal last night, you can't blame Henderson for it, and I don't. But he's pushing up the line. He's not staying solid in as a back four.
Yeah.
Making sure that the danger is cleared first before he looks. They're too keen to counter-attack, I think, sometimes.
Yeah, and I think the teams that we have played against, like the Palace and Leicester, are two good, very good teams at that as well. So, they were dangerous sides. So I think you have to be, when you know you're playing against out-and-out pace, you have to get your numbers right and you have to have the right players back. And we just looked a little bit like we haven't done that for once. And maybe, I think James Milner or Henderson, if they're fit, and Fabinho have to play now. We need some more leaders out there at the moment. It looks like we've lost that leadership on the field for the last
couple
of games.
Is Milner on the bench?
No, he's suspended.
He's suspended,
And, he you can say whatever you want about James Milner, but he's a leader out there, isn't he?
Mm.
And obviously, we have Van Dijk, who was... Yeah. But Van Dijk's obviously been under the weather with tonsillitis or whatever. He wasn't on it last night. And I think it just shows the importance of him. If he's not on it, I think we struggle a little bit defensively because he is that important. Joe Gomez obviously needs to come back in when he's fit because him and Van Dijk are a partnership, I think, will take us forward as well.
Ian, nice one. Thank you very much indeed. We're going to squeeze one more caller in. We're going to talk Everton. Finally, with Fakhrul. I think that's the correct pronunciation. Evening to you.
It is Fackrell, yeah, that's very good.
Actually. Good man, good man. What's on your mind about Everton at the moment?
Well, I've just been tweeting in the last few days about Everton. Massive fan, you know, being a lifelong fan, and just frustrated, really, at kind of the negative headlines regarding Marco Silva. I just think it's far too early to start talking about crisis, and, you know, there's been rumours about his job's on the line and that kind of thing. I just think we need to look at things in a long-term view. Mm-hmm. He's coming to a difficult time with Everton. You know, we've spent X amount of money under Ronald Koeman. I think we were going well under Silva up to the Liverpool game, and since then, things have kind of dropped off. But I think we should need to look at the players and take a long-term view. I think the likes of Pickford has really gone off the boil ever since the Liverpool game. I think Coleman has not been the same player since he came back for injury. And I just think, as a club, we need to look at where we are, what our status is as a club, and take a long-term view. I mean, we worked really hard to get Marco Silva into the club. There's an ongoing Premier League inquiry as to, you know, the conduct between themselves and Everton. I think it'd be extremely embarrassing if they find us, or, you know, they kind of censured us for a manager that wasn't with us anymore. And I think we just need to take a long-term view with Marco Silva. He's been in the club 6 months. He's got players in there, the likes of Pickford, Coleman, Keane, Dominic Calvert-Lewin, Tosson, Walcott, who, you know, they weren't his signings. He's obviously having to cut the wage bill as well. And I think as a club, we just need to look at where we are in terms of our status. We haven't won a trophy for, what, 23 years now, 24 years, years going gone. And in terms of where we are, you know, in the hierarchy of the Premier League, you've got the top six who are ahead of us. But you've got the likes of Wolves. You've got the likes of Bournemouth, who can, you know, start spending 20, 25 million. We just need to take a long-term view, take it easy, give him some time, get his methods implemented. Give him two or three transfer windows, get the wage bill down, get the players that he wants in, let them bed in, and then take a long-term view. We've got
of how you go forward. Has he nailed it, Sharpie, Fackrell?
Absolutely spot on.
Yeah?
Absolutely spot on. I agree with everything he said, and it's a case that's not going to happen overnight. You've got to give him time. And listen, there's got to be signs of improvement. He knows that. But now is the time not to... the caller is spot on 100%.
Mm. Well, was it the second clean sheet away from home on Tuesday night? You need more clean sheets, don't you?
Yeah.
That builds confidence within the team. I think you haven't had enough of them this season. Probably conceded too many goals. I think you need to sort the back out. I think you've got good players going forward. Once you've got the back sorted, I think Everton will be a decent team.
Fackrell, you've got 15 seconds. Would you have let Idrissa Gueye go?
If they paid his £40 million for him, then absolutely, that's money ball for
you. Drove him there.
Yeah.
40. Thank you very much, pal. Some really good points made
Thanks,
there.
Buddy.
Oh, I'm finishing with a bit of intelligence, sir.
Yes. Yes.
Get him on the show.
So.
Do his job him.
Yeah. Oh, nice to see you, Dom.
And you. Cheers,
Don't
Steve.
Go away downhearted.
Delighted to see you.
Yeah, right, Sharpie's face lights
same
up.
Same time
when you
next week.
What's all that about? Boys, who have we got next? Oh, West Ham on Monday. Is that going to be all right?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, be a tough game. No easy game, Steve. Come on, you know they've got some decent players. They can cause you problems. They've picked up a little bit. So yeah, difficult game.
Everton at the weekend.
Wolves at home. Good game.
Oh, tricky game. They're good, aren't they?
Fancy Wolves.
They've overperformed this season. Boys, thank you very much indeed. That was the Radio City Legends. It will be back on Monday night, of course, from 6:30 until 7:30. I'll see you tomorrow morning on Radio City Talk between 7 and 11 to pre.
Join us for our LFC events in 2019. From an evening of darts with Bobby George, Peter Manley, John Aldridge and Steve McMahon, and the chance to play golf alongside LFC legends, to concert hospitality for Take That, Pink and Bon Jovi. We've got something for everyone in 2019. Visit Liverpool.